Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Radio.com. Radio.com.
Hey, very good Friday morning to everybody. Welcome here to 560 WQAM. Greg Likens alongside Dave Hyde filling in for Joe Rose and Zach Krantz. Hope everybody had a terrific July 4th celebration. Matt the Biff Wilson with us as well. We're figuring out all sorts of mysteries in life this morning. The origin of nicknames and talking about Ricky Williams, all sorts of stuff. Dave just told us, if you missed it, in the tail end of the 7 o'clock hour about going to do a story on Ricky Williams and how he was getting involved in massage therapy, and he actually gave you a massage.
And it was a good massage too. I'm not a massage person. I covered the Olympics in Beijing, and I got a massage there, and I felt good for like 3 days. And so I went back to the place later, and then I got somebody else, and it really wasn't as good. But Ricky gave it a very, very good massage.
Okay, so you felt relaxed.
You have a Ricky story, right?
Well, I do. So, Dave, I don't claim to know him the way you do. You know, I couldn't text him and say, hey, can I come get a massage, anything like that. But my Ricky story is kind of in two parts. And so you may remember the first part, like, vaguely. But if you remember, I guess maybe it was the 2009 season, because they're still running the Wildcat at the time. But I remember, you know, being kind of a young radio reporter, so I wasn't like really writing much, but I go out and cover, you know, practice and at least get sound and send it back to the station, that kind of thing. And I was working for QAM, and I remember Ronnie Brown was ruled out for a game against the Buffalo Bills. They're going to Buffalo. And so then all of a sudden we learned that, so everybody wanted to talk to Ricky because, you know, Ricky was going to be the featured back. And at the time, they're still running the Wildcat. And so I thought it was a logical question to ask. I didn't always ask questions, but I thought it was a logical question to ask if Ricky, because Ronnie was out, if, you know, he would then fill the role of potentially, you know, throwing the ball out of the Wildcat. Because that was always Ronnie with the, you know, they have the left hand. Occasionally they'd pull out the bag of tricks and he'd actually throw the ball rather than just run. So I asked Ricky that. I said, hey, you know, something along the lines. And he literally, there's a group of reporters there, and he literally shut down the interview session. he said, all right, I'm done. I asked a question if he would, you know, be willing to throw the ball out of the Wildcat package. He said, all right, I'm done, and turned around, and that was the end. And I was getting, like, glares from the local TV guys because they're like, well, we want to ask him more questions. And I was like, so that was, like, my only run-in with Ricky Williams. And then fast forward a couple of years later, you know, I was going to be doing a weekend show here on QAM, and I got word, like, on Thursday or Friday that Saturday afternoon the show wasn't going to be from the studio. We're going to be out at a local car dealership. I won't mention the car dealership because, I don't want to give any free pub or anything like that. But they're like, you're going to be out there. And the reason you're going to be out there is because there's an autograph signing featuring Ricky Williams.
Uh-oh.
And so I was like,
your heart drops.
Okay. Well, that should be interesting. And so I just thought that I'd be there promoting Ricky Williams is going to show up. So this is where you need to be, all this other stuff. And then I get word like the day of, they're like, oh, by the way, Ricky's going to come on the air with you. And I said, oh, okay, well, cool. And so I'm preparing to talk to Ricky Williams and all this. And so I get out there, and I do the first hour just by myself. And then it was like the second hour, which he was supposed to show up. And sure enough, he shows up, and I say hi to him. And, he didn't remember any of that. And, I kind of thought of, like, that he had shut me down, but he didn't remember any of that. In fact, he was really nice, really friendly, but he says to me before we start, like, the interview segment, I thought it was just going to be like a 15-minute segment. And he's supposed to be there for an hour signing autographs. He says to me before we go on, he goes, hey, do you mind if I sit here and do the radio with you for the full hour? And I said, No, not at all.
Can you give me a massage too?
Yeah, well, had I known, yeah. And so I said, no, not at all. They said, that's great. And I'm thinking, well, this is awesome, right? And so I was like, you sure? Is that going to be all right with you? He goes, yeah, yeah. I really don't want to talk to any of these people here. And so all these people are lined up, long line, to get his autograph.
Oh, God.
And he didn't want to talk to anybody. So the entire time he had the headset on and he was signing autographs, but he talked to me. And so it was his way of fulfilling his duties. And I don't think he particularly necessarily liked me. I don't think it could have been anybody sitting there. But it was one of those things where if he only had to talk to me and it was showing everybody else that he had some other responsibility, he could still fulfill his obligation of signing the autographs, but he didn't have to interact with everybody.
I got it.
And
yeah,
so it ended up being like a long form interview, which was a lot of fun. We talked a lot about how he was studying to be an osteopath. And that, because that's he was actively doing that. And so, as you pointed out, most of the conversation outside of football was much more interesting, and he was much more engaging when it was not related to football.
Yeah. Now, did you get in your question, though, about would he be throwing the football out of the Wildcat?
I didn't bother to ask him that again. Yeah.
His eyes would have lit up. Now I remember.
You're the guy. Yeah. So that's my Ricky Williams story. Those are like the two times I've really interacted with him. And I just thought it was fascinating because, you know, we look back at when he was first drafted by the Mike Ditka and the New Orleans Saints gave up just the entire draft to get him. And he shows up and we see those viral clips of him wearing his helmet while doing interviews and understand that, you know, he had some issues in terms of being around people and social anxiety disorder and all those different things. I don't know exactly how it was diagnosed, but I kind of saw that come to fruition there where he was like, yeah, I'd much rather just talk to one person than speak to all these people who were there. And so it was a little awkward because, you know, all these folks who were waiting in line wanted to, you know, have their exchange with Ricky. And in reality, like, they got their autograph, but he was kind of talking to me.
He was different. I remember Parcells walked by him in practice and dropped a yellow post-it note that said, like, $4.3 million, you know, dollar sign 4.3M. And that was his contract negotiation for the next year's contract. That was it. Yeah, I'll take that. That's good. But the great thing as in our business is when people stay in town for a while, and he did in and out sort of with his suspensions and everything, but the more he was around, the better at least I got to know him, and it was the problem really in today's sports world for me is guys come in and out so quickly,
right,
that you don't have a chance to get to know them, or they vice versa with you, or care really, because they know, hey, I'm not going to be here that long, but some of the best, the other thing is, the longer they go on in their career, the much better they're to work with. They understand your job and your role. Ichiro was fascinating. You know, the Biffs were in a Yager t-shirt, which, right, I saw during the break, which Yager was fascinating to work with. Some of the, you know, they're in their 40s when they were here. Mm-hmm. They're grown men. Right. We could play that clip. That was a bad imitation. But Ricky, to your interview like that for an hour, he always had fascinating things to say.
Yeah, it was really, really. I mean, it struck you just how intelligent he is and thoughtful, and I mean, but just so many interests other than football. And so it was a really cool opportunity. But also, you know, I'm thinking, like, I'll get like 10 minutes with him, and then he's going to go do the autograph thing, and he's like, hey, is it cool if I just stay here the whole time? And I was like, Yeah, if you want to. You don't have to ask me. Whatever you want, man. You're calling the shots here. We got some people who are texting in about Ricky Williams. 56022 Kendall Toyota, West Kendall Toyota text line. Somebody says, I was born in 1983, and Ricky Williams is the best running back I have ever seen. He's right up there, right? I mean, in terms of certainly because he was out of football for some time, you know, the numbers may not match up with some of the others, but while he was on the field, there's no denying how good he was. And I know it was an issue with him, the way they utilized him and really kind of ran him into the ground.
They really, yeah, I mean, you look at his carries, was it three around 380 for two straight years, and he was looking at the third year of that.
Yeah,
because they hadn't done anything to the offense. So he, okay, we're going to get more of that, and I'm a dead, you know, my body's going to be toast, and that, as much as anything, led to his retirement, quote, suspension the first time.
Right.
But yeah, he was a force of nature when he was on the field and running. I remember after a Jets game up there talking to him, and he's like, kept rubbing his hair, and he goes, "What's going on?" He goes, "Marvin Jones, he was pulling out my dreadlocks during the game, throwing them on the field."
That was the only downside of having the long hair,
yeah,
right?
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, and then when he, you know, later in his Dolphins career, just went short hair, right? Yeah. Got rid of the dreadlocks.
But through all his ups and downs, it was really hard to dislike Ricky.
Agreed.
I mean, he was, you know, for whatever, however you came across on his suspensions and his, you know, his loyalty or what do you want to say, dedication to the game or the franchise, it was always hard to I found it impossible to dislike him when you talk to him.
I'm with you. And, you know, you're right. He was polarizing for a number of reasons.
Well, that's the question. Okay, there we go. Ricky Williams, will he go? His name go up on the stadium?
You know,
because he was the centerpiece of the franchise for, well, the Wannstedt era, whenever, you know, however you want to define that. And
right.
And even afterwards, with I mean, Nick Saban loved him. Nick Saban saw him as a, you know, a different cat, but, you know, he got great football out of him.
Yeah, and then with...
And Parcells liked him.
Parcells and Sperano and...
You know, I thought with Parcells coming here hardcore, Parcells had issues with Jason Taylor. Jason Taylor's a dedicated a player. Now, it was a Dancing with the Stars thing, and I get all that, but if you were going to embrace anybody, it should have been Jason, and I thought... If he's not embracing Jason, wait till he gets a look at Ricky Williams. And yet, he loved Ricky Williams.
Right.
He was old school. Ricky was old school, practice hard. When he's there at the field, he is going to give 1,000%.
And then, you know, the easiest contract negotiation he's had in his life, so that's probably played a role as well.
So will his name ever go up on the stadium?
I was asked about this a few months ago, just by some Dolphins fans, and I was like, I don't know. Like, I feel like he's deserving, but my gut feeling is that he does not go up there.
He's as deserving as he is undeserving.
Right, like, you know, I think all the other stuff that happened, I feel like will prevent him from being up there. There's no denying what he was capable of on the field and the production on the field, but I just feel like all the other distractions.
But how do you overlook?
Yeah,
you know, him. I don't know. I don't think he'll go up on the because you want someone who embodies everything, and he didn't embody everything. As a, quote, Miami Dolphin organizational player.
Right.
Now, as a fascinating personality and a great player, he did.
Do you think, you know him better than me.
I don't know him anymore, but you know.
But do you think, like, from what you knew of him, do you think that would be meaningful to him? Like, does he care if he's up in the Ring of Honor, or I guess they call it the Honor Roll? Most places call it the Ring of Honor. They call it the Honor Roll.
Yeah, I know. That's why I never call, I say name go up on. I can never remember what they call it. But I talked to him a couple years ago when he was doing one of his marijuana. I think he was coming into town, and I was looking for a column and called him up. And that's where he had the line that he's making the money from. As much money from marijuana now that cost him during his playing career. But at some point he said, you know, that's why I won't be in the Hall of Fame. You know, it's something about, you know, how many years he played and the marijuana cost him this and that. So what you find is during players' careers, they don't think about these things. But afterwards, when they're looking back and they want some, you know, confirmation, validation, whatever, of what they did or who they were as a football player. I think it would mean something to him now, okay, in a way it never would during his playing days.
Yeah, that makes sense. Right? That would apply to a lot of the guys, as you're pointing out. But he does strike you as the kind of guy that may not care one way or the other.
Yeah, he may not. Right. He's moved on to whatever he's moved on to.
Yes. Hey, Dave, we're getting a lot of texts about Ricky Williams. Kendall Toyota, West Kendall Toyota text line 56022. We'll come back. We'll read some of these. Plus, we got Mike Florio coming up at about 9:20, so about an hour from now. And he, as part of what he's doing for Pro Football Talk, he's compiling the top storylines entering the upcoming season. And there's a Dolphins-related storyline as well, which I want to bring up as it pertains to the Dolphins and the AFC East. So we'll come back, read some Ricky Williams texts, talk some Dolphins. That's next here on QAM. We're back here on the Joe Rose Show. Greg Likens and Dave Hyde filling in for the guys. Matt the Biff Wilson here, as normal. Hey, Biff, like, what's the deal? Everybody else takes vacation, and you got to stick around on the show? What's that? Is it just your work ethic, or?
It's my work ethic.
Or is it just that they're like, hey, somebody's got to stick around and work, and you're the lowest on the totem pole?
No, Hollywood said, if you want, you know you can go. And I'm like, well, I'm not really going anywhere, so why not work?
Look at that dedication, Dave. You did it for us.
I'm the only person who's dedicated on the show. Let's be real.
Well,
you're
going to
go far, young man.
Yeah, based on this performance, that the Biff nickname is going to go a long way.
I can see him 62 announcing Yankee games. Here's the Biff. Welcome to Yankee Stadium, fans. This is Matt Biff Wilson.
What if I wanted to do St. Louis games? I feel like I'm now going to be typecasted as a New York Yankees play-by-play broadcaster.
Just go into your practice your Biff Wilson routine.
Yeah, nothing wrong with that, Biff. All right, Dave, we got a bunch of texts rolling in here. Kendall Toyota, West Kendall Toyota text line 56022. I do want to alleviate somebody's concern here. Somebody says, did something happen to Ricky? Why are you guys talking about him? Nothing happened to Ricky Williams. We just happened upon talking about Ricky Williams.
It was either that or Summer League basketball, which is very big, yes. Right? How we are neglecting Summer League basketball is beyond us. That's why we're talking Ricky Williams.
Yes,
right?
we're talking Ricky Williams, and so nothing happened to him. Just we were telling some old stories. Somebody says, I think there's some typos here, but it says, I've seen Ricky Williams run the ball 50 times in one game, a night game against Buffalo.
It wasn't. It was a snow game, I believe, but it wasn't 50. It was like 39.
It was close.
He ran 42 against Buffalo here. So it was a Monday night game. That's probably what they're talking to, because I remember leaving that game thinking, they're killing him. They're gonna, and he had a big game and all that. They had an off week. It was like a Thursday night game, and they had like 10 days off or something. And I remember writing in my column, if they think that little of their backup running back, then they made a mistake,
right?
And not, because you can't do that to anybody.
Who put the depth chart together on this team, right? Jeez. Okay, we got. I'm going to read a few more of these Rickies, then we got a question for you specifically, Dave. Somebody says, Ricky is an amazing dude with an amazing heart. Somebody else says, Ricky should be a Hall of Famer. Do you agree? Well, if we're struggling to determine whether he belongs in the Ring of Honor / Honor Roll for the Dolphins, then the Hall of Fame seems like it would be a long shot for Ricky Williams.
Yeah, I think, again, you running back, you'd have to line that up and look at all, run all the numbers and everything. But the first issue for the voters, because the decision, and this gets to the voting for the NFL, for the Pro Football Hall of Fame, is it's just what happens on the field. But part of what happened on the field is him getting to the field.
Yes, him getting to the field was affected by something going on off the field.
Right, and how would you line that up with when he was on the field? It was a great career.
Yes, no doubt about it. When he's on the field, he was terrific. But yeah, there's some nuance to that. Somebody says he totally deserves to go up on the stadium, but he doesn't care about that crap. according to one texter. Somebody else says, I grew dreadlocks because of Ricky, by far my favorite Dolphins player of all time. Somebody else is asking, this is for Dave, says, in this new internet era of journalism, there are very few Edwin Popes or Jim Murrays, but you've stayed. It's amazing. How have you done it?
Well, I need a job, first of all, and this is about all I'm qualified to do, but thanks for any mention with Edwin and Jim Murray. That might be a little over the top, but no, I like what I do. I mean, that's the bottom line. You wrestle with bringing it into the internet and all that and Twitter, and I was a little hesitant with the whole Twitter when it started, what, a decade ago or whatever, yeah. Made the transition. So, you know, I sometimes wrestle the importance of the written word isn't there, and there's such a need now for 24/7 to put up crap of just nonsense that you don't. It takes time away from writing something or you know, working, reporting on something that I find rewarding. But you know, on the other hand, there's a lot more avenues to get your work out there too.
Yeah, so there's pluses and minuses with a lot of these different things. I mean, for example, like you think about, say, some of the Dolphins teams of the 80s, even the Hurricanes, even the early 90s. Like, did you ever think there would be a point where the top billing as far as news would be about the personal lives of the players? Right? Because I know, like, in extreme circumstances, you could bring that up. But now it's like it becomes a thing, you know, through TMZ mostly, where there's a headline based on who somebody's dating or, you know, they were out at a nightclub. And
or their house
stuff.
Is for sale and here, take a tour of their house.
Right.
You know, yeah, that's gotten – we're going through bedrooms now in a way that we never did. And you know what? I still don't feel the need to do that unless it affects other things, like Tiger Woods, okay? That affected everything.
Right.
And not only Tiger Woods, but the golf world. And so, but yeah, the whole TMZ era, if you want to call it that, and the internet era has changed a lot of things in your job, in this job behind a microphone, but more in my job with the newspaper, I think.
Yeah, I agree. And, you know, I guess just while we're talking about that, you know, probably there was a time where if you were a writer, then that's all you would do was write. And then over the years, you know, now you're on the radio, now you're doing videos, and so everybody becomes more multifaceted just based on the nature of where media has gone.
Yeah, you don't want to be that Tyrannosaurus Rex going down in the La Brea tar pit and not adjusting to what's going on. There are people like that in you know, somewhere there's the world's greatest Western Union telegraph operator, right? Who's out of a job. So yeah, look, I like to write. I still like the job. I find it fascinating. It's just changed a lot from where it was even 10 years ago.
Yes, it has. So anyway, nice to see a good compliment there on the text line. All right, I want to transition, Dave. We're talking Ricky Williams, so this fits in with the Dolphins. And Mike Florio from Pro Football Talk will join us in the 9 o'clock hour. For those who haven't been paying attention on Pro Football Talk, they've been counting down what they've deemed as the top 2019 storylines. And at number 20, this was posted yesterday, he asked the question, can the young quarterbacks in the AFC East compete with the Patriots? And so I'll read this quickly. It says, on the second night of the 2019 draft, the planets fully aligned in a way that likely guarantees yet another New England division title, which would be their 11th straight and or AFC title game berth, 9th straight, at least for one more year. The other three contenders in the AFC East, none of which have done much contending in recent years, now have three of the quarterbacks taken in the top 10 of the 2018 draft. The trio became cemented with the trade that sent Josh Rosen, who was the number 10 pick, to Miami, joining Jets quarterback Sam Darnold at number 3 and Bills quarterback Josh Allen, the number 7 pick. Last year, the Patriots faced Darnold and Allen only once each due to injuries suffered by both players. This year, barring injury or some Fitzmagic, the Patriots will have 6 games against young quarterbacks in their division. Throw in the fact that Patriots will play all 4 teams of the AFC North, including Baker Mayfield and Lamar Jackson, and half of New England's games will be played against first-round quarterbacks from the 2018 draft. Advantage Belichick, a master of devising game plans that confuse and confound quarterbacks, especially those without much NFL experience, which means that the Patriots will likely once again rule the division, and that soon-to-be 42-year-old Tom Brady could end up emerging with wins over quarterbacks who were 2 years old, Darnold, 3 years old, Rosen, Allen, and Jackson, and 5 years old, Mayfield, when Brady arrived in the NFL via pick number 199 of the 2000 draft.
And there sums up what I've always thought is the understated foundation to the Patriots dynasty, which is the AFC East, the others, the leftovers, as I've called them. They've done a marvelous job of helping the Patriots get the AFC East title, and with it, oftentimes, the home field advantage through the playoffs.
Which can be the difference.
Which is often the difference. You look at their, now that last year they did win on the road, but you look at their home and away record in the playoffs even, and it's there is a difference. And so this is the foundation of everything, that it's amazing. 20 years, none of these teams has put together a sustained run. I know everybody goes, oh, the Jets went to the AFC Championship twice. They did. But there was nothing sustained about that. It went up and down.
Right.
And 20 years of not finding a quarterback for three franchises, that takes some work, doesn't it? I mean, that is a feat in itself of
it really
just
is.
Going through every way to find a quarterback or not find a quarterback and have nobody who can challenge, and still they don't. I mean, the quick answer here is none of these young quarterbacks is going to challenge Tom Brady over this season, a sustained season. First of all, the teams around them, look at Josh Rosen. He comes in. The offensive line, we don't know what it is. There's one real legitimate starter there in Laremy Tunsil, who came into his own last year. And you know, some hopes like Jesse Davis, who looked, you know, he had his times. Now he's moving to tackle, possibly. But, yeah, I mean, Tom Brady, again, at 40, the big date for Dolphin fans right now, I think it's August 4th. Tom Brady turns 42. You're getting closer to relevance.
You hope so. And I'm with you. This season, it would appear unlikely. I think the question becomes, Dave, with, you know, Rosen, Darnold, and Allen all in the division, the odds are unlikely that all three of them are going to turn to great quarterbacks. But which of those guys ultimately does become a formidable quarterback to the point where you feel like that team is good? Because none of them might not, but you know, one of them may, maybe two of them. And for Josh Rosen, he's really got a shorter leash than the other two, because we basically have a season to evaluate him before the Dolphins likely decide on whether they're going to draft somebody else.
And let's remember, the Dolphins, one of the fascinating things to me this year is Adam Gase going to the Jets. He didn't want Sam Darnold as his quarterback here. Okay?
Right.
He didn't want him. All right? That's well known in the Dolphin organization, and it came out last year aftermath of the, when you sort of sit down and you talk to people about what they thought of the draft. Now he's married his career on some level to Sam Darnold.
But he also got rid of the GM who likes Sam Darnold. So he's at least he's taking care of that
that's
part of
true.
It, right?
Yeah, so the Jets are—they're the Jets. They're the Knicks. Look, the Dolphins have been that way for—I don't know. We don't know they're out of it yet.
No.
Okay.
Don't.
We don't know what this. They're given a benefit of the doubt time right now. Of okay, yeah, it looks like they're making. At least you see a plan, which is we're going to be bad this year. Maybe we'll get a franchise quarterback if we don't have one. But they're trying. The reason I love the Josh Rosen trade, okay, they're trying to get a quarterback. And they're not saying, oh, well, we'll get Tua in the draft next year, or we don't know what we're doing, which for years was a state of the Dolphins. Look, the only guy who's really made – you have to go back to 66 with the Dolphins. They drafted Rick Norton first in the expansion draft. And the next year they took Bob Greasy. And the GM was asked at the time, why did you take another quarterback? He goes, I'm going to keep taking one until I get one. And that has to be your theory, working theory in the NFL. Keep taking them until you get one.
Yeah, I agree. Right? The most important position in sports, let alone football. And so for the Dolphins to go out and go after Josh Rosen, why not? Take a shot, see what happens, and we know they'll be in good position next year. But we'll talk to Mike Florio more about this in the 9 o'clock hour when he joins us at around 9:20. But thought that was interesting timing. We're going to talk to him today, yesterday, posting about the inadequacy of the other three teams compared to the Patriots in the AFC East. Certainly a theme that has gone on for a long time. The question will be, are we nearing a point in which that isn't the reality? We'll take a quick timeout. We'll come back. Got a bunch of texts rolling in here. Kendall Toyota, West Kendall Toyota text line, 560-22. 560-22 is how you reach us. Plus, more evidence out there that Goran Dragic may be traded. We'll tell you about that when we come back here on 560 WQAM. Welcome back here to 560 WQAM. Greg Likens alongside Dave Hyde in for Joe Rosen, Zach Krantz, Matt the Biff Wilson with us as well. As we continue on, a very good Friday morning to everybody. Coming up in the 9 o'clock hour, Mike Florio from Pro Football Talk will join the show. Looking forward to catching up with him. As we are getting some people texting about the Dolphins, if you want to join us, 560-22 Kendall Toyota, West Kendall Toyota text line. We'll get back to your text here in just a little bit. But there seems to be a lot of momentum, Dave, if we revert back to NBA free agency in the Miami Heat, to Goran Dragic not being with the team much longer. Now, everybody is aware at this point of the trade that did not occur that was going to send Goran Dragic to the Dallas Mavericks. And at the time, it's so weird how the world works these days, Dave, with social media, especially Twitter, is that when the Jimmy Butler deal, that news broke like 8 o'clock or so on Sunday night. In conjunction with that, not long afterwards, everybody's trying to figure out, okay, what's the other compensation? How do the Heat make this work so they get the salary cap in the right way? And then, you know, the report came out that Goran Dragic is going to be traded to the Mavericks. And all of a sudden, I'm seeing on my timeline all these people posting kind of like tributes to Goran Dragic and thank yous to Goran Dragic for his time with the Miami Heat. And then it was like an hour later, like, oh, actually, there's another version of this trade that has Kelly Olynyk and Derrick Jones Jr., no Goran Dragic. So it's like, oh, wait, are people supposed to delete their tweets or rescind their messages? And then, as it turned out, none of those guys were actually traded away.
Yeah, it was staggering to me there was a miscommunication in a trade of this nature among executives who have made trades and dealt with. But we'll accept that at face value because I haven't heard anybody come out and throw a dagger at the other franchise for, you know, they screwed it up.
Although it is funny, the speculation, because the deal ends up getting done without the Mavericks, but the speculation that if for some reason the Jimmy Butler to Miami Heat deal was nixed because the Mavericks maybe had this miscommunication, mess this up. Can you imagine, you know, a la the Danny Ainge statement made by Pat Riley via the Miami Heat, if he did something similar to Mark Cuban and the Dallas Mavericks?
And it's not like the Heat and Mark Cuban have any warmth.
No.
From 2006 playoffs. I still remember, you know, the Heat, some of the comments by Cuban during that series did not go to the Heat well at all. And I remember talking to the executives there and vice versa, you know, but whatever, we'll go with that. There was a miscommunication and it was strange at the same time, everybody accepted the deal was going to get done on the Heat side because, and the interesting part of that is there is a market for Goran Dragic out there.
Mm-hmm.
They could trade him and they were trying to do him right by trading him to Dallas where, you know, he's a hero to their future.
Right. Luka Doncic is
right
there. And, you know, they were teammates on the Euro Basket Championship team for Slovenia. And so that seemed like a perfect fit.
Sure.
It did. Now, with all that being said, there is still a lot of conversation surrounding Goran Dragic and that he will be traded because they still need to get – some more money off the books prior, really, to tomorrow. And we talked yesterday a little bit about the Lakers being a potential landing spot if Kawhi Leonard doesn't go there. The reason I brought this up is that Brian Windhorst on ESPN.com has an article that was posted last night in which he lists 9 more NBA stars who could be on the move in the near future. And among the names that he has on here, Jeff Teague, Andre Iguodala, Kevin Love, Marc Gasol, Jay Crowder, Robert Covington, Tristan Thompson, Kyle Korver, and he mentions Goran Dragic. Before I read you what he says about Dragic, he also says, another name on everyone's lips in this regard is Bradley Beal, as the Washington Wizards face a significant rebuild, but as of now, sources said the Wizards are resisting such inquiries. So I know that's been a name that a lot of Heat fans have been paying attention to. But Dragic, he writes, he was almost traded a few different times over the weekend as the Heat looked to facilitate the Jimmy Butler sign and trade. Like Jeff Teague, he's in the final year of his contract at $19 million. He's coming off an injury-plagued season where he missed 2 months after knee surgery and saw his numbers plummet, but the Heat would have to have another point guard option worked out as part of a deal. Okay.
Well, that was the issue. First of all, you start with this: if they're going to trade Goran Dragic, they really, really think Justin Winslow can be a good point guard.
Right. Okay. He'd be your only option.
Yes. Yeah. And if you're trading Dragic, you're saying, you know, you hear progress stopper a lot in the NFL more than the NBA, but he would be a progress stopper to where we want Justin Winslow to end up as a point guard. Now, to this point, we really don't know what Justice Winslow's position is, or if he has a position or needs a position. You know, maybe he's the guy off who, you know, he fills in wherever needed. But if they trade Dragic, it would be, unless they get a you know, there's another point guard coming somewhere in return, that, you know, Justice Winslow is our point guard of the future. We really haven't heard that designation be made from the franchise. You know, we've heard it from fans, from media.
Right.
But I haven't heard Spoelstra or Pat Riley come out and say, yeah, he's our point guard. I've heard other things that, hey, we love that he plays all these different positions. So I'm curious to see if that designation would then be made, or they'd feel the need to go, you know, Bradley Beal, John Wall as a point guard. You know, I'm not saying that's going to happen. I don't see that happening at all, but they would be in the market if they don't think Winslow is a point guard to go get one.
For sure. And even if, you know, they firmly believe in Justice Winslow, there's no backup point guard on this roster right now.
And that was the real problem last year. When Dragic went down, they didn't have a backup point guard. Oh, they had all these, this depth, all this,
all these guards,
equal
and
talent.
Yeah.
You know, a lot of average players, but they didn't have a backup point guard. I mean, most teams, you need a backup point guard just to come and give a little spark. Distributed the ball in a different way, maybe. They didn't have that. And then when Dragic went down, you talk about, to me, the main reason the season sank last year was that it was a oddly constructed roster.
Yeah, because Tyler Johnson and Josh Richardson and those guys all can play point guard, but they're not actually point guard. They're more two guards, or Richardson at times has played the three as well. So, yeah, I mean, you get rid of Goran Dragic, you're relying upon Justice Winslow to be your point guard. But then even after that, you know, you don't have anybody else in this roster that is firmly a point guard in what they've been able to do. Now, with that being said, could they sign a guy who is, you know, a veteran minimum kind of deal potentially? But that is one of the storylines. But I'm guessing, Dave, that Dragic, he may be moved by the end of today.
Yeah, it sounds
just
like,
depending on what happens with Kawhi.
You've never heard any real pushback from the Heat that they're not trying to move him. And they need to, from a salary cap standpoint.
Not only that, but then his agent even came out, you know, kind of Monday morning and admitted to some of the local media members that the Heat were working with him and Dragic to determine a destination for him because they thought he was going to be the one to go to make the Jimmy Butler trade work. And now that didn't happen, you know, you could make the argument that they'd be a better team with Dragic on it with Jimmy Butler, at least for the upcoming season. But some would then argue with you that I'd rather see Justice Winslow and get his opportunity to develop, much like you're referencing, Dave. So it's going to be fascinating to see
how
this
plays out.
How about
Dragic, though? You could be hitting the lottery here from a professional competitive standpoint.
Yes.
You talk about most of us fans, outsiders, don't want Kawhi to pick the Lakers. Dragic has invested interest, according to all reports, that Leonard not end up in the Lakers, because if he doesn't go there, if he goes to the Clippers or stays with the Raptors, then it sounds like Dragic is being moved to the Lakers.
It does. I mean, we're connecting the dots. So if Kawhi Leonard, you know, later this morning, early this afternoon, makes his announcement and it is not the Lakers, then we could see very quickly a deal in place that hypothetically would put Goran Dragic in a Lakers uniform playing alongside our old friend LeBron James. Wonder how Heat fans would deal with that. Because some of the Heat fans are still bitter about LeBron James.
Get over it. Grow up.
No, I'm with you, but you know how they're going to be with Dragic now, who's, you know, he's been a fan favorite. I think he'll leave and everybody will think highly of Goran Dragic, but that'll be an interesting dynamic to play out for sure, at least for some of the Heat fans on social media.
A lot
media.
Of these fans won't get over it until LeBron's jersey goes up in American Airlines Arena, which it will. Remember how Shaq left?
Yep.
And Shaq didn't contribute nearly the amount that LeBron did. It's happening.
Yeah, and
at some point,
time tends to heal these wounds, but it's taking a little longer with LeBron for sure. All right, Dave, we're going to come back. We're going to kick off the 9 o'clock hour. We've got a lot more to get into. Plus, Mike Florio will join us at 9:20 here as we continue on. Stay tuned here on QAM.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.